This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave Time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. And tonight, doing that with me is Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, good evening.
Look, a big thank you there to Tom and the Informer team and David for bringing us the latest in local news. The glitter residue has only just been swept away from, and many Eurovision songs have already faded away into oblivion.
What? Never say that. Someone's got the CDs out there.
But what can't be erased is the stories, the inside stories, the ones that you don't normally hear. Stories of powerful change, of death threats, and outrageous fun. We found somebody who is ready and willing to tell all.
So, what makes Tel Aviv the perfect host city for Eurovision 2019?
Breaking news, this hasn't been talked about before. Whose life was at risk at a recent Eurovision Song Contest?
And can one person change the way a country looks at its LGBTI community just by winning Eurovision? Explaining how Eurovision glamour changed a nation, tonight we're joined by Alon Amir, a gay Israeli Eurovision expert who recently visited Melbourne. And he's written a book, 3 Minutes of Eternity, inspired by his intimate behind-the-scenes Eurovision experiences.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbo from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the Worldwide Wave. That's how people do it.
Thank you. Diva by Dana International. Great Eurovision song from 1998 when Dana International won as the first trans person to win Eurovision. And she's from Israel, which is where we are tonight. And we've got a few more great Israeli songs tonight. Messages coming in. Lots of opinions on the flag.
Yeah.
Should we change the pride flag or not? So we've placed on our Facebook page, W3Joy, a picture of a potential new pride flag, which is considered by the creator to be more inclusive. So it includes brown, black, and the three colours of the current transgender pride
pink,
flag.
Pink, blue and white.
Right. So Hoffler says, the real question to be asked is, why isn't there a sense of community and a lack of inclusion that has made some people feel left behind? Valid point there, Hoffler. On the phone, Jess has called in on 1300JOY949. She says she is a queer woman of colour. She believes the current flag is already inclusive. Why do we need to add more?
Absolutely.
Nose coming in there.
And also a rather longer one from Lana. I'm going to say no. I don't think the pride flag was intended to be inclusive. The colours represent particular principles and values. I really like this. I didn't know about this about the pride
flag.
Yeah,
actually, we interviewed when the designer of this died, we did a show on the pride flag itself. And yeah, each of those colours has a meaning. And actually, yeah, Lana's quite right. It's not about representing different parts of the community. It's about representing the values.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a rainbow should be inclusive anyway, personally. Yeah, that's... it's all the colours, right?
True.
So red stands for courage, orange possibilities, light blue is far horizons and the need to provide education, violet is the colour of warmth, beauty and friendship.
And a message on 0427JOY949 from 317. Why is it that some white gay men feel threatened by changing the colours on the flag? Looking at the remarks on social media, it seems resistance toward change comes from this demographic. Is it male privilege seeking to maintain their power over other groups? Ooh, throwing something out there.
Yeah.
Well, we've got we've also got two females commenting against, so a bit of a mixed bag. Very interesting. Send in your thoughts. 0427JOY949 is the SMS. 1300JOY949 on the phone, or email is onair@joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We are talking all things Israel tonight. It is the most tolerant place in the Middle East for LGBT rights. Tick, tick, tick. Same-sex sexual activity was legalised in 1988. However, it was more of a process thing. They sort of dawdled. So it was actually 1963 that they stopped implementing any laws.
And they were the first in the region to recognise unregistered cohabitation between same-sex couples, making it the first to recognise any same-sex union. And although same-sex marriages are not performed, Israel recognises same-sex marriages performed elsewhere.
Discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation was prohibited in 1992. And same-sex couples are jointly allowed to adopt since 2008.
And they are allowed to serve openly in the military, which I'm always surprised that's not allowed in certain other countries.
Don't mind a man in uniform. Tel Aviv, as we mentioned, is frequently referred to as one of the most gay-friendly cities in the world, and they do have one of the probably the biggest gay pride parade in the region. They've got gay beaches. It's a fabulous place. It's fabulous. Well, not to the pride parade. I've been to Tel Aviv. Great place. And opinion polls have found that a majority of Israelis now support the legalisation of same-sex marriage.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Alan Amir is a gay Israeli man and a bona fide Eurovision insider. He has been a visible part of the production teams for many Eurovision entries, including Dana International's 1988 winning performance that we played just before. He dropped into our Joy's Melbourne studio to chat with Michael and Liam from Joy Eurovision about, amongst other things, Tel Aviv, the likely host city for the next Eurovision Song Contest.
Well, actually, let's talk about Tel Aviv, right?
I'd now, love to show you Tel Aviv. It's a fantastic city.
Well, I would love to go in 2019.
What's stopping you?
Well, I need to go there for a reason. Do you think we're going to Tel Aviv next year?
Yes, for sure. I don't see it happening in any other place. I mean, Jerusalem is off the table now, I would think. I'd hope. And then you've got Tel Aviv. I mean, that's the other city, and it's the gay capital, the cultural capital, and it's, as I've been around all over the world, it is definitely by far one of the best cities ever. I'd really love to show you Tel Aviv. It's fantastic.
It seems illogical not to put a giant party in what is essentially one of the biggest party cities in the world.
Exactly.
It'd be fun though. Like, it'd be a good little party. Well, not little party. It'd be going for 2 weeks. That's
not little, and it's but of course, Tel Aviv is one big party anyway. So that's going to be fun.
But you've been now in Australia for it's like a couple of days. Not long.
Not even.
What's it like being in a good old Melbourne town as opposed to Israel?
Listen, it feels to me like I'm in little New York.
Oh.
And I love New York. And it's a mixture of New York and Europe. I've been here for less than 24 hours, but I'm in love with the city, and people are so nice, and it's so easy to walk around, and good drinks and nice food, and I'm like, why has it taken me so long to get here? And it's okay, it's 24 hours. You're used to it. I'm not. But it wasn't that bad. And landing in Australia, come on, that's fun.
What have you been up to then so far? What's been the best bit so far? What's been a little bit different, something special, something you're going to take home with you and remember forever?
I don't know. Well, so far it's just been nice. I thought I'd be molested by a kangaroo, but I don't know. Even a koala would be nice, but they're not here.
So I'm sure you can arrange that.
Though. Yeah. In Sydney, I'll do that in Sydney. Yeah.
Don't get too close. I have syphilis.
No, it's chlamydia.
Oh, that's right, chlamydia.
That's fun. Yeah.
So don't get too friendly with them.
Okay.
Because I'll have to call you back in a couple of weeks and say, hey, it's
give you a course of antibiotics and you'll be fine.
That's right.
Sure. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. And you're in Australia for some talks and some visits.
Yeah, I've released a book called 3 Minutes of Eternity. It's semi-fictional. It's based on my experience in the Eurovision Song Contest, which I've been part of since before God. My first one was in 95.
Literally God. Literally God.
Of course. So it's based on all of the experience. It's a novel, let's say. First of all, it's not a bio, but it's based and inspired by especially what we've been through in Azerbaijan in 2012. You know, the Israeli delegation going to a Muslim country with an open border to Iran. And for the first time, we've had 15 special agents coming with us from Israel. And they were all hot and cute and very, very straight. I can say, because it was published, they've caught, together with the Azeri police, 40 terrorists that came to Azerbaijan in order to kidnap us, blow up our hotel and the venue.
That's Alan Amir, Eurovision expert from Israel, speaking with Michael and Liam from Joy Eurovision. Coming up, we hear how Eurovision nearly cost Amir his life.
This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we've stopped off in Israel. Now, this pride flag has stirred up quite a number of messages. Another one coming in. Ian says, I love the values the flag represent and the inclusion of the colours. Changing the flag doesn't make us more inclusive. Changing our behaviour does. I like
Absolutely.
That. I think you're on the money there, Ian. We'd like to hear getting so most people on the no side at the moment. So no, don't change from the current flag. If you're perhaps a fan of the new flag, give us a message, 0427 Joy 949. 317 has message in, they need Eurovision to reunite peace in the Middle East.
Yeah. So what was the Middle East, or Tel Aviv in particular, like when you visited?
Well, so it was a while back, but my memories of being sort of half out and all that, but going to a nightclub, and this is a place where there's just guns everywhere.
What?
But you feel completely safe. Everybody's got a gun. Because
Everybody owns a gun, or are they like guards with guns?
They're just, it's because... being in the military, they have
conscription, get a gun with that. Yep.
Military service. So there's just army people everywhere with guns. And being in a nightclub, guy in his army uniform.
Is this where the love of the uniform comes from?
Perhaps. Well, yes. Because he had his shirt off, ripped body. But the gun slung across him and he's dancing away on the dance floor with this massive machine gun on his back. And I'm just thinking, my God, where am I? But still, with all those guns, you felt safe.
Yep.
You really did feel safe. So, yeah, interesting. Great times. I'm a fan.
Yeah. All right. So tonight we are talking with Alon Amir, and he's written a book, 3 Minutes of Eternity, which is partly based on his Eurovision experiences. This included a very scary visit to Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan, for the 2017 Eurovision, where his life was under threat. Michael and Liam from Joy Eurovision ask what happened.
About the book and about Baku. It was crazy. We wouldn't have known about it, you know, watching and following generally to a degree. Did it change the way that you went about your business in that 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, obviously, because you have to deal with your own safety. And, you know, after the artists, me as head of press, I'm the most visible person in the delegation, so people know who I am. And I knew I was a target. So back then, yeah, it was frightening. I couldn't sleep, and my room was right next to the exit door or the fire escape. So I knew that if something were to happen, I'm the first one who's getting it. So I had to take like sleeping pills in order to sleep, and you know, it was oh my God, back then, frightening. Walking in the streets, having to look back, we couldn't go to the same place twice. We found this lovely, lovely restaurant, and after a couple of times, we were told never to go there again. Being pulled out from not just the front door, but the garage and back entrances, and it was like completely bonkers, and we couldn't use the bus that every delegation has.
Yeah, I remember at the opening ceremony that Israel's bus was the only one that wasn't marked with anything.
Not just marked, we couldn't use it. They sent it into all over the city just to, you know, they've hired this really shabby, awful small bus for us, and we used to look at this fancy bus going on to the city by itself as a decoy or something, and we were like, okay,
shaking your fists at Albania's bus.
Exactly. But yeah, I remember friends, even Australian friends, who saw us in Baku, and they were like, I don't know, because doing Eurovision, it's a lot of pressure for every singer, spending a lot of time, money and efforts on that, and on top of that we had security issues. And I met one of the special agents a month after we had returned, and he was like, "You idiot, what were you doing there?" And I was like, "Eurovision?" He said, no, and he started listing all of the threats, and I was like, okay, I did not know about this or this, but good to know now. Great, you didn't tell us back then. I'm surprised we came back alive. I have to admit, I'm surprised.
So do you think if Azerbaijan ever wins again, will Israel participate?
Yes, of course. There isn't really a question whether we go or won't go. I remember being the head of press for Slovakia in Düsseldorf, mm-hmm. when Azerbaijan won, and for a full year, me and another member of the delegation, we kept laughing like, we're not going to go there, we're not going to die, and we're not going to be part of it. And we pitied the bastards who will represent Israel that year. And in April, we got the phone call, will you join us? And both of us were like, no, I'm not going. Are you? No, I'm not going. And then a silent, like half a minute, I'm like, so we're going? Of course we're going. And I'm so happy that we did, because that was an extraordinary experience for me. But we were tapped in for our cell phones. They were listening to us. We got cell phones from the organizers, every head of delegation, head of press, and SIM cards. And towards the end, we discovered they were listening. So every phone call started with, I love Azerbaijan, I want to live here forever. Oh my God, it's the best city. Oh my God. And then, you know, we start. And you want to know how we discovered that?
How?
A couple of delegations, not ours, I think it was the Slovak and something else. They were talking on the cell phones that they had received about how to get weed. And half an hour later, the police stopped both buses of those delegations and searched them. And that's when we discovered that they were listening. And then we, oh, because I had noises when I was talking on those cell phones. I had noises. And this is how we discovered that they were listening.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Doing wow. Eurovision is fun.
I really should not have used Grindr as much as I did in Azerbaijan.
No.
Actually, were, no, I got away.
No, no. Were you in Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I was there.
They were actually warned by the EBU to treat the gay community with respect. They were issued a letter saying that if something were to happen to the gay community, so they had to accept everyone. But have you noticed that in Baku, all the men, the straight men, are walking hand in hand?
Oh, yeah, that's always, like, confused me a bit. Yeah. Is that like, a Arabic
That's a thing, yeah,
sort of
it's
thing?
An, I guess.
Israel's pretty gay.
Pretty gay? Israel is really, really, really gay. It's very open, very accepting, especially Tel Aviv. I mean, I don't have any problems being gay in Israel.
How's that changed? What's happened?
It has changed a lot thanks to Dana International when she won in 98. So, I mean, that's what's nice about Eurovision. You can actually do something and which affects everything else thanks to... And you're going to sing. You represent your country, and then without understanding, things are changing. So when she won, a transsexual from Israel, that made things a lot easier. And it kept rolling and rolling. And now, though, yes, we can't get married yet. And fine. I hope that will change soon. But Israel is very accepting. I mean, everyone is gay, literally, especially in Tel Aviv. It's like everyone is gay unless proven otherwise.
So it's like being at Eurovision. Just
yeah, that's the assumption.
The
if you're in Tel Aviv, you're gay. That's the assumption. Unless proven otherwise, you're gay.
So it's the straight people who have to come out.
Yeah, of course. Listen, of course. And everyone is so accepting. Tel Aviv is fantastic. I mean, the rest of Israel, obviously, it's like, I would guess, the small villages in whatever it is in Australia, maybe they're not as accepting as the people in Sydney and Melbourne. But in Tel Aviv, it's absolutely brilliant.
That's Alon Amir, a gay Israeli Eurovision expert. Eurovision does have this power, doesn't it? It has this... It's controversial, but it just ropes in the whole of Europe. And
yeah, and I think everyone in the country gets behind their song.
Person,
yeah,
their song.
It must be that country pride, and it doesn't matter who sings that. You'll suddenly support someone who you might not have previously because they're Israel or England.
Yeah,
I think
we've sort of we have sort of spoken about this ability that Eurovision has to influence, I guess, the local LGBT community, but I haven't heard it articulated so forcefully there that Dana International's performance really transformed the way the local people in Israel viewed the LGBT community as a whole. I mean, they probably said something about Dana herself. And her ability to maximise the profile that she got.
And to be out strong and to win off it. I mean, that's that probably helps.
Very, very well. That's right. Yeah. Very hard for people to then argue against you and pay out on you.
Is it using kind of people's national pride and being against other countries to bring people together within? Doesn't matter.
Australia does that all the time, don't we?
Yeah, true. Sports.
Anything to do with sport. but yes, also some scary experiences there. So we should point out that it wasn't. I don't think Alon was suggesting that because of his sexuality, he was having some scary experiences in Azerbaijan. It was more about the Israeli team, and there were some threats made against them. And
for being Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Interesting that he's now turned that into a book. He's sort of, it's loosely formulated on his past experiences, all sorts of experiences in Eurovision. Yeah. So I think it would be a very entertaining book. I just have to mention there, big thank you to the Joy Eurovision team. We have got some more coming up, but the Joy Eurovision team, Michael went across there, did a gazillion interviews, and now Elon came out to visit Melbourne for the first time,
yep,
which we're
fabulous.
Glad he liked it. Thanks for stopping in, and we've got a bit more with Elon coming up here on Worldwide Wave.
This is David from Brazil, listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Say text 0427 Joy 949. Your voice, your radio station, Joy.
This is it. Now, that wasn't an Israeli song, we should just point out. It was Danny Minogue, Our Danny.
And why are we playing Danny Minogue from 1993?
1993. That song was one of the top Aussie songs of that year, which was, of course was when Joy began 25 years ago. We are 25 years proud. It is Radiothon time. It's time for everybody to pull out their credit cards, sign up their memberships, whack on a donation as well, and head on down to the Emerson for retro party.
Oh, yeah. Can we wear retro clothing?
You can wear whatever you like.
Yeah, I've got a lot of rave outfits.
Oh.
From the 90s, I believe.
It was. I remember, because I was living in Sydney at the time, but I remember coming down here and Commercial Road was just like, it was like Oxford Street in Sydney. And you'd have all your, you'd sort of bar hop from one to the next and see different shows and things. So,
yeah, brilliant.
We can relive all that.
Yeah, at the Emerson, also on Commercial Road. It's at 6:30 on Thursday, June 28th.
Fabulous. Tickets?
$35.
Bargain.
Easy.
Have a party. All the money goes in as a part of Radiothon as well.
And also, don't forget Radiothon, Hour of Power.
Oh, yes. Double your dollars. Double your dollars. So basically our wonderful patrons kick in dollar for dollar for every donation in one crazy hour, which is on Monday the 25th of June, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. A huge thank you. They are our guardian angels, Gary Singer and Jeffrey Smith. So tune in to Murphy's Law Monday, 5:30 to 6:30, 2 for 1 with your donations.
Yeah, fabulous. Now,
a few messages coming in. Let's not forget about the stabbing in Pride in Israel 3 years ago, and a tribute during Eurovision would be a nice tribute to the deceased. Good idea. I visited Israel last year. A city that's a little schizophrenic in nature. Wish them well for Eurovision. This is why Eurovision is now very important to emerging gay identities in the world. It's much more than quirky songs and crazy costumes. Yeah, I'd go with that.
Absolutely. I think it makes you think more.
And I think our guest is talking about that next. Alon Amir, who is Israel's Mr. Eurovision, has been explaining the transformative effect that Dana International's 1988 performance had on acceptance of the LGBTI community in Israel. Michael and Liam asked Alon if he felt that this could happen again.
Well, we have that now with Netta, which, you know, it's all about diversity, accepting who you are, other people to accept you who you are, even if you're, for example, her. I don't want to call her fat. She's not fat.
She's pretty openly said, I'm weird and fat. Like, she's... Yeah. Wears it as a badge of pride.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks to her winning, people that were badgered in school are now holding their head high and they're like, I'm unique. And that's okay. So she's inspired a lot of people. And that's nice, actually. So things are changing thanks to Eurovision in Israel. I don't know how it is in the rest of Europe and Australia, but in Israel, it does mean something.
What would you say to someone, LGBTIQA+ XYZ person, who has been wanting to go to Israel, whether it's to Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or anywhere else in the country, but have been a little bit hesitant about going for a journey? What would you tell them?
First of all, do it. It's fun. You'll discover a great country. Second of all, don't be afraid, especially not if you're in Tel Aviv. Even in Jerusalem, it's fine. I mean, you won't be able to walk hand in hand with your boyfriend in the city in Jerusalem, but nothing will happen to you. And it is safer than you think. And there is great food. Israeli men are gorgeous. My God, they are gorgeous. And we've got the beach, which is fantastic, and a lot. And we have a lot of things. Come on over. It's great. But you need like 2 weeks to discover the real Israel and not just Tel Aviv, which is fantastic for its own. You need a couple of weeks to discover Israel. We have so many things there.
Alon Amir is the author of 3 Minutes of Eternity. He is a Eurovision expert. He is
a badass.
He self-described badass.
Oh, yeah. I don't take myself too seriously. I'm an ass. I'm an idiot.
How do people work?
Either Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Just search for me and you'll find me and I'm there.
Oh, it's time to wrap it up. Alon, thank you very much for being at Joy.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
A big thank you to Alon Amir, our gay Israeli Eurovision expert, and also to Michael and Liam from Joy Eurovision. You can actually hear there's lots more that he speaks about. It's quite funny. You can hear the full interview will be up shortly on joy.org.au/Joy Eurovision or your favourite podcast app. And don't forget Alon's book. We've just posted that on our Facebook page. It's called 3 Minutes of Eternity. It's available on Amazon.
And we would love to thank all of our messages this week from Facebook, from Layla, Mark, Hoffler, Lillian, Tish, and heaps more. It's W3Joy on Facebook.
And all those other messages, 317, Ian, Jess, Hoffler, Lana, love it. Our podcaster, Alex, and social media master, Dean, Neil on the front desk, Urban Dreebings coming up right now. Taking us out, we've got a gay Israeli singer.
Yep, the song is called Bo or Let's, and it's by Ivry Leader.
Catch you next week on Worldwide Wave. עד מתי נמשיך לברוח אל משחקים של כוח מותר לך לפקוט לפעמים כשמשהו נשבר בך בפנים ספר לי קצת על רגעי הפחד חד ביחד וכשרוחות קרות יסערו בחוץ אשלח בך שחמה יום אחד אולי תפסיק לרוץ בין הצלים בנשמה
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.